Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're excited to be here to worship a God who's alive today. If you believe your God's alive today, why don't you raise a hand to heaven and just begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Invite him here to this place as we worship him. God, we thank you for all you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, for being with us. God, and we just worship you today. Come on, take a minute and just worship him today. Hallelujah. Open up the heavens today, Jesus. Worship him with all your might. Go ahead and give him a big praise in this house. Hey. Come on. We believe the Lord for greater things here today. Praise you, Father. Yeah. Come on. Church and make us whole. Ignite, transform, take us to a place we've never seen before. You've done the impossible. We've seen the mountains move. come to celebrate a big God today. Hey.
Renew, restore, revive your church, make us whole. Ignite, transform, take us to a place we never seen before.
You just say,
you the impossible.
If you're ready for a breakthrough in this place, I want you to raise both hands to heaven. Just begin to say, thank you, Lord. Everything that can be shaken in my life will be by the power of God. Hey!
Foundations are shaking and every curse is breaking. The strongholds,
they're falling. Hey!
And greater things are
coming. We believe you, Lord. Oh, they're shaking.
Strongholds
are falling, yeah.
And greater things are coming.
Hey.
Foundations are shaking, and every curse is breaking. Strongholds are falling,
yeah.
And greater things are coming.
Come on, we're gonna give a big praise to the Lord.
Do you believe that we serve a victorious God today? Do you understand that He's a God that gives His people victory today? Amen. Amen. Turn around, high five somebody. Say, we're winning. If you would, please. Then you could be seated. Go ahead and be seated if you would like. Or you can stand, but I'm not responsible for whoever is sitting behind you. Amen. Well, good morning. I'm a little further away from you than usual. Good morning. Are you doing okay? It's an absolutely beautiful day to be in God's house. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us. This is a day to rejoice. We like to rejoice over games. We like to rejoice over different promotions. We like to rejoice for family members. And that's all appropriate. I think that we should do that. But I like to rejoice over people's lives being saved. I like to rejoice over homes being restored. I like to rejoice about somebody on their way to heaven. And so when these people come up out of the water today, the first thing they ought to hear is their church family rejoicing with them, thanking God that our sins are buried in God's love. And when we come out of that situation, all of the past is buried and we have a brand new life. Is there anybody here today that can say, I remember the day and time that I gave my life to Christ. He washed my sins away and gave me a brand new life. Can you be bold about it? Raise a hand up there. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God for that today. So just before we start this part of the service, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your presence that's here. I believe that you're here because your people are here. And God, we expect great things to happen, not only in the lives that we're celebrating with today, but in everybody that's joining us in this building today. And if you believe that God answers prayer, let's clap our hands and thank God for his ministry to us. All right. I want you to meet Simon Dunphy. Simon Dunphy, are you 16? You're 15 years old. He's taller at 15 than I was at 16, though, I can tell you that. This is Dalton's grandson, if you can believe, Dalton and Lois. Lois did have as much to do with this as Dalton did, and we're so grateful. Simon, you really want to give your life not only to God, but to serve him, don't you? Tell the people what this means for you today.
This is definitely giving me hope. God's done a lot for me in my life, and he's delivered me from tons that I could not even do by myself at all.
That's awesome. Amen. It's good. All right, Simon, I don't need one. Face me. Simon, because you've allowed Christ to come and remove all that distance and all that stuff that the enemy would like to use to destroy you. You want everybody to know that you're a son of God. I now baptize you in Jesus' name. Is Cameron over there? Send Cameron out. Come on out, Cameron. I warmed up on Simon. Now I'm ready for Cameron right here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very little warm-up for the preacher today. Hey, Cameron. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
That's awesome. How long have you been coming here?
A year and a half.
About a year to a year and a half. What was life for you before you came to Christ?
I grew up with my mother and my parents taking me to church and everything, but about 15, 16 years old, I hated it, so I pretty much ran away from anything I could. Basically, more just bad decisions, a lot of partying. I like to drink, and I'm good at it, and I prayed a lot about it, and I can honestly say I've lost my taste for it.
Wow.
I really thank God for this church. Everyone is actually genuinely accepting and genuinely nice, and it's really great. This I wouldn't have thought I'd be doing this. Thank you.
That's awesome. Amen. Does anybody else have that testimony today that God just took that desire for what was killing you right out of you and gave you a desire for what would build you up? Isn't the Lord good for doing that? Amen. Isn't that awesome? And if you're here today and you're struggling with sin, or you're struggling with even something that's destroying you, God said he can come and give you a hunger for righteousness. And what God does is he gives life, and life more abundantly. About a good amen. And thank God for that, huh? All right, Cameron. Check 1, 2, 3. You've been sprinkled and now you'll be dunked. The holy scepter has been drowned. We need some waterproof mics. How's that? We got 8 more mics. We're okay. We're going to be fine with this. All right. Did that make you nervous?
No.
Not at all, no. If it was wired, it might have given us something, but. Woo. Cameron's like, get me out of this tank. This guy, can't even hold a mic. How's he going to hold me? Cameron, I'm so proud of you, buddy. And because you want everybody to know that you're a new man from the inside out, and you're unashamed to be free, full of faith, going forward for God, I now baptize you. All right, Janice. There you go. Everybody say hello to Janice. You got some friends here. What's going on? What's God doing for you?
I'd just like to say, before I got here, I was basically a train wreck. Stayed in bed most of the day, and it got to the point where I was just writing on Facebook, like, pretty much suicidal stuff, really hopeless. Barely left my house at the end of it. I was on opiates for 8 or 9 years. It was not a pretty picture. So I started coming here. Somebody brought me, actually, because I didn't even have a vehicle at the end of it. So somebody brought me, and something drew me back. I'm not sure what, but I just kept coming. And my life since then, and it's only been since February. So my life now is I'm off all the opiates. I did like a 14-day wean, and they said that can't be done. And I was barely even sick. And the only thing was I was coming here. So now I'm out and about. The church has helped me get a vehicle. I mean, I cannot believe what this church has done. It's just, I don't know what to say. I'm very happy. So now I'm not depressed. I mean, I've tried doctors, psychiatrists, I've been in Acadia, I've been through a lot. I haven't felt, like on the way over, I thought for sure I'm going to be a nervous wreck. And I felt so friggin' calm driving over here. I don't know. Last night I slept so well. I haven't slept that good in so long. I don't know. It's a miracle. It is.
It's so good. We help people win. We help Janice win. And if Jesus can help Janice win, Jesus can help anybody win. Yeah. And there are thousands of Janices all over the state of Maine. The world, but thousands of Janices. And there may be a Janice that's watching online, somebody that's in your been in that situation. And you need to know, God's no respecter of persons. If he can do it for one person, he can do it for any person. Come on, somebody, we can do better than that. Let's thank God. What a miracle worker. What a miracle. What a miracle of God right there. You know, the state is doing everything it can to cure the situation, and I'm grateful for all of it. But I understand there is an ultimate healer. His name is Jesus Christ. He's not a higher power. He's not a greater force. He's not a philosophy. Come on. His name is Jesus. The grave couldn't hold him. The cross couldn't keep him. And our faith brings him into our lives. There's nothing that God cannot do today. In Jesus. All right. Sorry, Janice. I'm preaching. Praise God. Because you've allowed Christ to not only adopt you into his family, bring you in as his daughter, but because you've already, as you've let us know, to let him take care of every area of your life, and you want to keep walking in obedience so God can continue blessing. You've come before the people today to be baptized. I now baptize you. Praise God. Justin, since you, I wish you could have heard Janice. As soon as she came out of the water, she went, just like that. Just like that. Come on, Lexi. Hey, Lexi. Praise God. You know, the presence of the Lord is always so strong when we hear people's testimonies. And we're so proud of Justin and Lexi. Isn't this awesome? I'm so proud of you guys. Everywhere I see you, and I see you everywhere, they got these same smiles on there. They're not Sunday smiles. They're all week-long smiles. I'm so proud of them. I'm grateful. Who wants to be the spokesman here? Yeah, Justin? Appreciate you volunteering.
Don't drop that. Yeah, I won't. So before I came to Charleston Church, I didn't really have a good connection with God. I mean, I did go to church every once in a while, but it was just something left out. And I just didn't really feel welcomed at any church I've been to. And when I met Lexi and her family for the first time, they asked me to come to Charleston Church. And ever since then, I decided I wanted to dedicate my life to Christ 2 years ago. And since then, I just felt like God's just been kind of blessing us and like just decide. Not used to doing this, folks. Bear with me. He just helped guide us along and helped guide me along, because before I decided I wanted to do a wildlife ecology, and it got to the point where I almost wanted to drop out because it just got too stressful. And then it just felt like the Lord just came along and said, this isn't for you. You need to try something else. And it just felt like he just came down and said, you should try forestry. And since then, I switched and did forestry. And since then, I just felt like it was my passion, and since then, that's what I've been pursuing, and that's just what I'm keeping on doing. And along the way, he just helps and guides me along, and when times get tough, with between school, with our marriage, with jobs, he just helps guide us along, and he just always comfort us, and he's always there with us and making sure that everything will be okay. And since then, I thank him every day for it. Yep. We just recently paid off our house.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Say that again.
We just recently just paid off our house last week. So I just thank him every day for it. And I thank him for guiding me, guiding Lexi, and guiding our marriage. And just, I know every day he's going to just help us out and just guide us along the way in our life.
Awesome. Good job.
Come on, let's give God thanks. Isn't that powerful?
All right, we'll start with your questions. There you go.
You're okay. Justin, because you know that Christ has gone to the cross, rose from the grave to bury your sins, give you a brand new start, and you want everybody to know that you're his son, I now baptize you. And you, Lexi, because you've allowed Christ to just totally destroy any of that which kept you from him, you've allowed him to come into your life, give you a brand new heart, adopt you into his family. I now baptize you. Praise God. We've got one more couple. Hey, Amber. Praise God. Aren't these wonderful testimonies? Come on down, man. You good? All right. I want you to meet Jack and Amber Little. I'm so proud of these guys. These guys have such a great testimony, just like the others. Who wants to share it?
It's been a long road for us. We've been almost married 5 years this year, and Our marriage is at a lot. Oh, 4 years, sorry. She has to remind me half the time. We've had a lot of ups and downs. And we had a major down the weekend before we started coming here to Charleston Church. We've been here for a year or a little over now. We've met some really great people. And, yeah, we've had our struggles. We've had our problems. But the one thing that we've noticed is the Lord has brought us here for a reason. And we've been here. And consistently, we've held on to our church family as best we can. My parents, they've been a huge thing for us. They've been right there every step of the way, and we're thankful for that. And Pastor, you and Darcy and the whole church, you guys have been amazing, and the Lord has just given us so many blessings. Our children have adopted the Lord to themselves, and we have three beautiful kids, and It was great. My daughter, last night, when my parents were up, she was singing, "Jesus loves me so because the Bible told me so." And she just kept singing. It was a beautiful thing. It was a little moment that you can't ever take back. So, do you want to talk? Oh, come on.
I write better than I speak. So, yeah, we started coming here in May of 2017. I have no prior church background. I was baptized as a baby, but obviously I wouldn't remember that. So, I started feeling really down in life. I run my own business as a direct sales, and I needed something more. So I kept bugging him, and I'm like, okay, we need to go to church. And he wouldn't. It took probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 months before he...
It was hard for me to decide whether I wanted to come or not, but I took a dive, and sure enough, here we are.
So we started coming here, and it was funny because I had my phone, and I had I was taking notes of everything. And, I mean, I can go back, and I've got weeks and weeks and weeks of notes that I was applying for my business, and it opened up so many new things for me. And I remember last summer, Jack's in the military, and he was away for 2 weeks in Canada, and I remember I emailed him and said, so I just signed our daughter up for Highview for pre-K. And so that started that, but she just had so much love for the Lord coming here. And, Mason came later, but. I knew that was the right place for her. And so she's in her second year at Highview, and she loves it, and she loves coming here. And I just love seeing the smile on her face and on our boys' faces. And, I mean, we've been through a lot with our kids and all the different things. I won't drop the mic. Just DHS was involved in our life with two of our oldest and Edith, our middle, not by choice. Edith was born under the influence of drugs, and I'm not biologically her mom, but because of our faith in the Lord and just pushing through, we went to court 5 years later, and she is recognized as my daughter. We have a de facto parent thing going on. I don't know if you all know what that is, but it's like a three-way parenting. So the state of Maine has now legally recognized me as her mom. Which was something that I fought really, really hard for because I've been in her life since she was before born. Mason, I met Mason when he was two, not knowing that Jack had any kids, by the way. So I met Mason when he was 2, and we only had Sunday visits with him every now and then. And we got a phone call from DHS saying that there was a crisis situation. And within a month of that phone call, he was moved into our home full time. We went through the custody stuff with them through DHS. And he's been in our home full time since Labor Day of last year. So we are a full family of 5. But yeah, that's all I've got. Like, God is just moving in so many different ways. And unfortunately, I missed the women's conference this weekend, but I was in Florida with my business's women's conference, and it just moved so many different mountains. And I'm very excited to see what the Lord has in store for us for this year and even for a long time to come.
That's awesome. Let's thank God, would you? Let's thank God. Appreciate your service, man. Good man right here. And and even some of the repercussions of that, God has healed as well. So it's awesome. Jack, because Christ has come into your life and you're serving him publicly and you want everybody to know that you've accepted him publicly, now you do this publicly. It's a testimony of your salvation. I now baptize you. And Amber, because you've come to Christ, old things are passed away, and now all things are new and getting better all the time. And you want everybody to know why these things are happening. It's because of Christ. I now baptize you. Congratulations. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Let's stand together. Let's stand together. And would you thank God that he's not done? He can do that for your family members, your loved ones, your children, your parents. Come on, somebody begin to pray and say, thank God that this is not going to be only their testimony. This is going to be my family's testimony. This is going to be my neighbor's testimony, my boss's testimony, my employee's testimony. Let's give God thanks for that today, and let's continue to worship him.
Tell me where
is my head?
Call me
coming from?
Oh, it's coming from the Lord.
It's coming from the Lord.
Oh, tell me where.
Tell me where.
Is my help.
Is my help.
Coming from.
It's coming from.
Oh, it's coming from the
Come
Lord.
Come on, this is a testimony time. I want you to declare that it's coming.
Lord.
It's coming from the Lord.
Salvation's coming.
If you know
from
it's coming
Lord.
From the Lord, shout it out.
My
it's
healing's coming from
hey.
The Lord.
It's coming from the Lord.
Oh, it's coming from the Lord.
Oh, tell me where.
Tell me where.
Tell me where.
Is my head.
Is my head.
Coming from.
Well, it's coming from.
I will
lift up my
Him. Let's take about 30 seconds and just thank him for the miracles that he's done and he's going to do. We are so thankful, God. We're so thankful for what you're going to do today at Charleston Church. We thank you, God, for the people that will come to know you today and give their heart to you today. We are just so thankful. May we not forget what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being the light in the dark times. Thank you for being peace and joy and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to tell about five people. Today's going to be a good day. Amen. And then you can be seated. You know, we had a wonderful women's conference this weekend. It was just the best. It was kind of funny when I would say to the ladies, lady, tell about five people. It got to the point where I'd be like, just sit down. Enough, ladies. Talk later. Oh, I don't know. You guys just do it and sit down. It must be the man in the church, right? I didn't mean that as bad. I was just kidding. Who's? Sorry. Okay. I'm pro man, pro women, pro husband. Amen. Sorry. Okay, Charleston Church, help me get out of trouble here. So if you're visiting today, we want to say we are so glad you are in the house. Charleston Church, let our guests know we're glad you are here. We're so glad you're here. If you're visiting, I want you to take a connection card. It's right in the seat in front of you. Take it, fill it out, and put it in the offering. If you brought somebody today, and they're our guests today, give them that connection card. Have them fill it out. Everybody needs a good church. Amen? Everybody. And we're glad you're here. We're glad that our audience is live streaming this morning. We're glad you're with us. Amen? Ushers, if you want to come, I just have a couple announcements. We have First Wednesday, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. I want you to say First Wednesday. You don't want to miss it. It's just the great, it's a great service. And it's for the whole family. If you come Wednesday at 7, there's going to be nursery, there's going to be Ignite, there's going to be Soul Fire, and we are going to be out here. And there's just something about it. In the middle of your week, you need a little extra. And you will get it this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen? Next Sunday, we'll start collecting coats for our public schools, and we want to do more than we've ever done. Amen? We really do. I'm believing that we're going to be able to go to every school that we dropped off this last time for school supplies. I'm just believing that. And October 9th, the senior adults will be taking a bus trip to Augusta, and they're going to go to the State House and different things. And maybe we'll just have them pray for our State House while we're down there. Amen? So just plan that day. It's just going to be a good time together. And how many know that offering is a good time? We love giving to Jesus in this church. Amen? Yes, we do. I want to read this verse to you. It says, bring the whole tithe. Say whole tithe. Into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. He's not scared of tests, God. He's just not. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will be not enough room to store it. How many would just take that blessing from God? That's His promise. We can stand on it. We tithe in my house, and I am telling you, He blesses, it works. He helps us physically, financially, every area. Amen? How many of you would say that you know it works? Will you just raise your hand and encourage some people this morning? So we're just going to ask the Lord to bless this offering today. God, we are so thankful for what You have done at Charleston Church. We're so thankful, God, for the different things that we get to do for ministries because of Your faithfulness, this church's faithfulness. I pray Your blessings on them. I pray You bless their finances, their physical needs, their family needs, whatever they need. I pray that You bless them and help them. Lord, we're just so thankful that You're a good God. You're a good God, and we know that You're going to open the floodgates of heaven, and we're going to walk in Your blessings, and we're so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I didn't see
amen.
You.
So. It's all right. Good job. Good job. God bless you as you give this morning. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it very much. Praise God. Let's sing that song, Without Him, I Would Be Nothing. Do you know that song? Without Him, I would be nothing. You're going to need the second line. I don't have the second one. I just have the first one.
Without Him, I could do nothing.
Without Him, I'd surely fail.
Without Him, I'd surely fail.
Be drifting.
Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do You know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Jesus, precious Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Jesus, do You know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Jesus, precious Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Let's stand together and sing it. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. Without like a ship without a sail.
We're going to sing that again in just a minute. But when you get your heart to sincerely say, I can't do anything without Jesus, you have just stepped into the realm of faith that God will not deny. Is there anybody here willing to admit to your neighbors, because people are here today, you've tried it without Him and you could not do it? How many will admit that? I'm raising my hand, both hands, for the preacher and the man. But is there anybody that could equally say, but when I've leaned on Him, He's never failed me yet? Come on, let's begin to thank God. Would you, for His faithfulness? His faithfulness. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Jesus' love has never failed me yet. This one thing I know, this one thing I know, that Jesus' love
has never failed.
Come on, saints. Come on, begin to give Him praise and acknowledge it. He's never failed
me yet. He's never failed.
Begin to praise Him. Let your holy memory work up all that He's done.
Has never failed
me
yet. Wheresoever
I go, this one thing
that I know,
Jesus' love
has never failed me.
Come on, one more time. Let's begin to thank God for this faithfulness.
Oh, he's never failed me.
Ever, never.
He's never failed
me yet. Jesus' love has never failed me yet. Wheresoever I go, this one thing
that
I know, Jesus' love has never failed
me
yet. Praise God. Praise God. Now I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. There I'm finding there's more power than I ever dreamed. And I'm learning
to lean on Jesus.
Come on, one more time. Yes, I'm learning to lean. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Learning to lean.
Praise His mighty, faithful name.
I'm learning
to lean on
Jesus.
And I'm more power than I ever dreamed. And I'm learning to lean on Jesus. If you find Him as a reliable source, give Him a hand clap of praise and thank God for His mighty faithfulness. While you're standing, would you open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 19 for me as we gather around the Word of God for a few minutes before we go get some lunch and come back tonight at 5 o'clock. I can't wait for tonight's service. I always kind of want to fast forward the afternoon on Sundays. Wish we could just come back. It'd be kind of cool if we could just eat lunch here, especially when the Steelers are not playing that afternoon. I've got nothing to go home for that way, but Luke chapter 19, but there are heathens among us, and I know you need your fix. So Luke chapter 19 is just this one verse for your reading, then you'll be able to see it in just a minute. And Jesus entered Jericho and made His way through the town. I wish that we could say, and Jesus entered Charleston and made His way into town. And Jesus entered Charleston, made His way through the state. Come on, somebody. I wish we could say, and Jesus entered Maine, and He made His way through the entire country. How many know Jesus is ever increasing His influence in the world? And I want His influence to increase in our lives today. And I'll just make this one big point. Anytime He brings influence in your life, He's going to bring joy to it. So why don't you smile a little bit? I know those are kind of old slow songs, but how many know the joy of the Lord is our strength today? So I want to talk to you about help for the little man today. Jesus, please help me. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Praise God. If you were to take out the family picture book of Zacchaeus that we're going to read about in a minute, you're either familiar with him or it's the first time, and that's okay, then you would see his baby picture, much smaller than the little one that Matt's carrying down the aisle. I'm going to guess that Zacchaeus was, he was either premature or just very small. I would guess, if I had to, you know, 5 or 6 pounds. And then you'd see pictures of him as he's a little toddler, and he's not developing physically. And I can imagine in my mind, again, I'm imagining, so know the difference, that he's gathering more toys for him than the other kids do because, you know, he's so small he can't protect his G.I. Joes and toy soldiers and little matchbox cars. So as a little tyke, he's just constantly trying to gather more stuff for him. I can see him in the yearbook of his school as he's becoming a teenager, but he's still smaller than everybody else, and he's learned there to become very materialistic. He's at that age found out that he could overcome what he lacks in life by what he drives and what he wears and what he does and who he dates. I could see him as he's going to college, and as this mentality pervades in his life, he's becoming a CPA, but he's learned how to work the numbers. How many have ever met somebody that could work the numbers, but you didn't know how it worked? But it always worked to your defeat. And he began to work the numbers, and I can see Zacchaeus becoming more and more successful, also to the point where we read that Zacchaeus, of all the tax collectors, received a title that no other tax collector in the New Testament got. He was known as the chief tax collector. We don't ever meet anybody else in the New Testament that was the chief tax collector. The taxes were totally unlike today. They were overcharged and undersupplied. The Roman Empire set a certain tax, and they told the tax collectors, we don't care what you get, we want this minimum requirement. Now, I always used to, when I grew up, I always thought my dad was in the Bible because my father was an accountant. And I always thought my dad was in the Bible, that he was a tax collector. But this is not an accountant. Well, that was after, actually. I used to get up in show and tell and tell everybody my dad was a taxi driver. I was like in junior high before I found out he didn't drive a taxi. He drove a calculator. This was not an accountant. They would cheat. Tax collectors would cheat fellow Jews because they could. But Zacchaeus was not just a regular tax collector. He had a franchise. He was a modern day IRS, but he owned different locations at different malls and in different stores, had different online accounts. And all of his life, he was trying to gain for himself because, I believe, of what he started out in as a boy, lacking. Not just in physical stature. And we find here that in Luke 19, this Zacchaeus, who's got an ear for the street, who's got mob connections, hears that Jesus is passing through Jericho. Jericho is a city below sea level. And little did Zacchaeus know, or maybe the Holy Ghost was prompting him, but this would be the last time that Jesus would pass through Jericho, because after that he was heading to Jerusalem, where he would be crucified, buried, and we know the rest of the story, risen from the grave. This was the last time Zacchaeus, in his lifetime, would have an opportunity to meet Jesus. And it would be impermissible for me to go in this message and tell somebody today, if you're not right with God, I can't promise you get another chance to get right tomorrow. I can't promise you that there's another Sunday for you. I can't promise you that you'll want to come to Him tomorrow. I'm not questioning His faithfulness. Because you hear people say, well, you know, you don't know. I'm less concerned about the faithfulness of God, and I'm more concerned about the hardness of people's hearts. Because I find that God will knock on the door of your heart so long, and it won't be Him necessarily all the time walking away. But I know a lot of people that have walked away from God. And if you're here today, I can't guarantee you another altar call next week. I can't guarantee that you'll even want to respond to the altar call this next week. Today, at the end of this service, you're going to have an opportunity to give your life to Christ. And I'm begging you with all that I have within me, don't let another, you don't know when you'll be passing by this way. Is anybody glad today you took your opportunity? You took your moment of time. I'm glad I came. If I had come to God a week later, I don't know what my life would look like. Come to Him today. The Bible says in verse 2, there was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He wasn't just rich. He was very, what you would call wealthy. And he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. He's trying to meet Jesus. He's heard how Jesus met with people whose marriages were broken. He's heard how Jesus deals with people who are demonically tortured. He's heard how Jesus deals with people who lack food and he multiplies and their bellies are full. He's heard of fathers who have become concerned about their kids and God healed their children. He heard about the blind receiving their sight. Come on, how many know we still serve that same Jesus? He's not historically, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you hear about the great things that Jesus does, you just begin to say, can he do it for me? And that's what Zacchaeus was begging. Oh, there's something lacking in my life. When you will take advantage of other people, there's something wrong with you. And in this lack of his life, he began to hear that Jesus was coming. And he also wanted to see Jesus, but he was too short. He was too small. Something got between him and Jesus, who was small. Maybe you're here today and height is not your issue. You're not vertically challenged. I'm not particularly tall. But I'm not talking about your height today. Saul, when God called him to be king, was small in his own mind. God called Gideon a mighty warrior, and Gideon said, I'm from the smallest tribe. There are so many people, Jeremiah, God called Jeremiah to shake the nation, and Jeremiah said, I'm too young. When I say small, I don't mean height. When I say small, I mean lack. When I talk about being too small, you come short in some areas. You come short of the standard of God. All have sinned and fallen short of His holy standard. Maybe you've come short in your behavior. You've come short in your faithfulness. Come on, somebody. You've come short in those areas. Maybe you've come short as a husband. Maybe you've come short as a wife. Maybe you've come short as a grandparent. You're living with regret. Maybe you've come short as a business person. Maybe you've come short as a student. Maybe you've come short as a volunteer in God's army. Maybe you've come up shy. In fact, I want to fight it, but I can sense it in my heart. I'm going to tell you, if you look around, there's a lot of short people in the church today. You can look me in the eye, or you can look at your phone. But I've come to tell you, the church suffers because it's short. We're short on good works. We're short on faithfulness. We're short on sacrifice. We're short on vision. We're short on compassion. But I've got good news. Jesus loves to find shortness and give it greatness, because wherever you came short, the glory of God is what people begin to see. People knew you before you came to church. You were short on peace. You were short on provision. Did you hear that? They came to Christ and God helped them pay their house off. Thank God dead religion didn't get a hold of them too quick. They come up short. But now Lexi and Justin can say, you know what? This is how we came to God. But God takes shortness and He makes it greatness, because His glory shows greater when we come up short in our own natural ability. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a little short. I'm not angry, just a little short. Maybe you're here today and you've come up short. You're not what you need to be. You're vacillating. You're back and forth. You're struggling. And what's even worse is some of you are madly successful in life, but you have secret struggles. And your success is keeping you from your freedom, because if anybody finds out that you're short in that area, what will people think of you and your reputation?
I need somebody to hear this today. I need a single parent to hear this today. I need somebody that's going through a marital struggle today. I need a parent who's being battled right now to hear this. Wherever there is a depravity in your ability, I got good news. The Apostle Paul, one of the writers of the Bible, said, "When I am weak, I have become strong." If you came in short on good works, you can go out strong in God's works. Come on, somebody. I feel like preaching. I don't know if you feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you came in short on love, you can leave big on love, because God specializes in the weaknesses of man to show the strength of God. Well, be ashamed of coming in short on something. Just give your life to Christ. But here's the problem that nobody here struggles with. People got in the way. Nobody in this building's ever dealt with that, especially the balcony people. If I ever get shot, I have a feeling it'll come from the balcony. We've got all the security down here. I'm thinking there, it's a wide open shot right there. But I got a bulletproof pulpit. I'm okay. People. Facebook riots over people. Most of your tension this week has come from the, not from the stars, not from the economy. I'd say most of your burden has come from people. There are people that would come to church today if it wasn't for people in church. You know how easy it would be to fill this place if it was empty? But I promise you, if you're ever going to get to Jesus, you're going to have to get through some people. Preachers, ministers, people come with it. People come with it. People say to me, "I don't know if I can be in church, it's the people." How do you think I feel? But I've learned this one thing. Just because people are people does not make them the weak one. It's when I don't forgive the people that I reveal I'm the weak one. I know I preach this over and over again because I want people to get it, because I'm telling you, if you let it, people will be the biggest obstacle between you and Jesus, and you'll stay shy in life. But I'm telling you, there are people at Cowboys Tavern that get beat up on the same stool every Friday night and go back. Without Jesus, without the doctrine of forgiveness. And now you're saved, sanctified, spared hell and going to heaven, and you're not as spiritual as a Cowboy Tavern member. Oh, you don't need to hear it. It's the people on Facebook that need to hear it. In the balcony. I'm just teasing. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The answer to your problem and your weakness was never in the people in the first place. Your answer was never if people stop you, then make your way around them. If they help you, then hang on to them. You got to choose your crowd. If there are in a church this size, there are different crowds. And if there are people that discourage you from your faith, step aside and say, "Lord, give me another crowd." But even if I don't find a crowd, I refuse to stay short in my life because of people being short in theirs. Come on, don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. And let us, and at the same time, I'm shouting. Let us be a church that makes it easy for people to find Jesus. Come on, I'm tired of all the excuse-making people. Well, it's just, no, yes, it is people, but let us not be that crowd. Let us be the crowd that picks people up on our shoulders and say, "If you want to meet Jesus, I'll help you get to him immediately. Want to live my life holy. I want to live my life right. I want to live my life that people want Jesus. I want to be a good representative." And so I've got to preach both sides of that coin. And ladies and gentlemen, let each and every one of us do our best. We will never be filled with perfect people, but we should be a people that are improving. Verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. He ran ahead. He ran ahead. He was quick. I remember when our kids were little, and I would run after them. They were so quick. Well, they can still outrun me as I think about it today. They're still too quick. I remember when we had a yellow lab. He's in lab heaven now. And that's the best news somebody heard today. And as he was growing up, I would chase him, and he would chase me, and I would try to outrun Samson, the yellow lab. But there got to be a point that I could outrun him. He got tired. As he aged, he wasn't so flexible. Can I tell somebody today that has been serving God a while, you've become inflexible. And the reason that you're not chasing after Jesus is because there's an inflexibility in your life that you're not allowing God to, but the Bible says, anoint me with fresh oil. Some of you are great baseball gloves. Your leather's a little dry. That's good preaching right there. That is some dynamic preaching right there. Come on, that old baseball glove can still catch fly balls and can still get grounders and can still tag people out. All you need is a little fresh oil. Come on, somebody. Anybody here hungry for God to give you a little fresh oil so you can be a little bit more flexible? The crowd will dry your glove out. Man, there's a whole message right there. I'm not going to preach. I got other things to say. But there's things that you can do, listen to me, right now. Zacchaeus didn't say, well, I'm going to wait till everything gets ready. I'm going to run after God then. You know, I think every week there are people that come to this church and go to churches all over the world that they say, I'm going to serve God someday. Look at me, someday doesn't exist. Someday is as real as the Wizard of Oz. It doesn't exist. Someday is today. The best time to come to Christ is when you're short on something. I feel like preaching that right there. The best time to come to God is when your marriage is struggling. The best time to come to God is when your money is funny. The best time to come to God is when cancer has been reported. And the best time to come to God is right now. Come to Him now, because if you delay, you'll miss your hour of visitation. He ran to the sycamore tree. Isn't that beautiful? I wonder how much of that crowd said, I wish that sycamore tree wasn't in the way. I wonder how many of those people in that crowd saw the sycamore tree and said, man, why are we so bunched up in this four-lane highway? Well, there's a breakdown up there. I hate driving outside the state of Maine. You can have it all. 49 states. Give it to somebody else. Anytime I drive out of state, you'll get in traffic 3 miles long. And you think, boy, there must be a big wreck on the road. No, somebody pulled their car off into the grass. And every joker driving by said, I've never seen a car in the grass. Is there a dinosaur out there? Is there a Martian has landed? No, it's a Chevy. In the grass. Well, most of them are. I bet all kinds of people saying, I wish that, I don't know why God put that sycamore tree there. But when Zacchaeus come along, he said, you know what? This thing that's an obstacle to everybody else has become an opportunity to me. Everybody else is trying to avoid it. But I'm climbing up over this attack. I'm climbing up over this setback. Because I'm going to use my setback as my setup to meet Jesus. Verse 5. Ooh, I'm not preaching all this, but verse 5. When Jesus came by, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, called by him, Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I want to be a guest at your home today. Quick, come down here. It was at that place. Say what you want. But I believe that God ordained that moment that Jesus would happen to walk by that tree that was planted. I wonder if the angels in heaven were wondering, why is that sycamore tree there? Maybe the agricultural army of the angels are like, why is that sycamore tree there? That's where the road is. That's where the crowd is. That's where the people are. Why do we plant an ugly tree right there? I believe in the mind of God, he said, I got an appointment. I've got an appointment with somebody in that tree. Zacchaeus, I want you to come down. Look, quick, come down. I'm going to go to your house today. I'm not even halfway through the preaching. I'm sorry, but I got to fast forward a little bit and tell you that when Jesus comes into your home, everything changes. Home is where Zacchaeus came up short. If I had time, I would preach on the fact that Jesus loves to come into your life and visit your past and redeem every bit of it. But he says, I'm coming to your house and I'm coming to make a difference. I gotta come down. I got to be a guest in your house. Zacchaeus wasn't sick. Watch this. Zacchaeus didn't have a demon. Zacchaeus' refrigerator was full. Zacchaeus had money. Zacchaeus had it all. Doesn't seem like Zacchaeus was having any kind of ailments. But he sure did have a need of something. And everybody in this place needs a relationship with Christ. Look what happens when he goes to his house. Zacchaeus climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Honestly, I've been looking at you particularly today, and some of you haven't smiled since you came in the building. You're coming up short on your joy. And you got to admit, some of the things I've said have been somewhat humorous. But it's more than a laughing thing. You've lost your excitement. You've lost your joy because you don't know that Jesus is exciting. You don't know that Jesus is joyful. And I need you to hear this. The first thing that God will give you in the recovery of where you come up short is joy. Why? Because Nehemiah said when he had a task that was too big and he came up short on the ability, he said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And whoever, whatever, and whenever you lost your joy, get your joy back. And it comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I'm coming to your house. Verse 7. Watch this. Verse 7. Gladly. Can I stop right there? I'm going to challenge you today. How many of you listen to the radio on your way to work? How many of you listen to the radio on your way to work? It's not a sin. I didn't ask you what station. How many of you listen to the radio on your way to work? How many of you text and drive? No, I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that. I'm going to challenge you this week, starting tomorrow morning, to get in your car, truck, whatever, and turn the key and shut that radio off. And whether you drive 10 minutes to work or an hour and a half to work, for 1 week solid, on your way to work, just begin to think about the goodness of God. Before you let the people that don't have faith or you let people that don't have joy infect your daily victory, just shut it off and say, I thank God I woke up this morning. I do enough funerals to make me grateful to get up another day is a huge blessing. The people were displeased. You would think the people that were not short, you would think the people that had been robbed by this guy would be happy. But they're mad, they're displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Verse 8 says this. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half of my wealth to the poor. Lord, I have cheated people on their taxes. I will give them back four times as much. You are never more joyful than when you start acting like Jesus. I'm going to check out. I said, you're never more joyful than when you start acting like the one who went. You're never more joyful than when you act like the one who went to the grave for you. You're never more joyful than the one who rose up from the grave for you. I'm telling you today, when you begin to allow Christ to come in and fill the areas that you're short, I've got good news. You're not going to just sing about him. You're not just going to talk about him. You're going to start acting like him. You're going to start doing, the kids are going to say, where'd my mom go? Where'd my dad go? You got a new mom and dad. They came to Christ, and Christ has given you a precious gift, a faithful parent. Come on, somebody. A new boss, a new neighbor, a new church. Zacchaeus didn't, I thank God for the basic foundation classes, but before he took one, he started doing crazy things. I don't know when it is exactly that it becomes real to you, but I'm going to tell you, there'll be a moment in time that you'll wake up. Come on, musicians. And it will become real to you. When the sun comes up, those sunflower plants, they don't have to be told to face the sun. Y'all are with me, okay? Right here. Everybody's looking around. So like, it's a parade today. When that sun hits that sunflower, guess what that flower does? Whoop. And it just follows the sun until it sets. You know what happens for the believer? When they get the joy of the Lord inside of them, whenever Jesus comes into your life, he gets your attention. Now, I know that there are people that get tired in their faith. I know it happens. And I know why it happens. Because you get your eyes on all the wrong stuff. You got to get your eyes on the sun. I just want to make sure you get it. You don't have to tell that magnetic needle where to point. It knows where north is. I don't care if you put it upside down. I don't care if you put it in your pocket. I don't care if you put it in your nurse, in your purse. I don't, if you put it in the back of your truck, if you put it in the baptismal tank like that microphone went today, I don't care where you put the compass, wherever north is, it points. Look at me, the real child of God. I don't care if you put them in the hospital. I don't care if you put them on the hospital bed. I don't care if you put them in court. I don't care if you put them in the unemployment line. Where I don't care if you put them in hurt. I don't care if you put them in trouble. I don't care if you put them in political terror that's going on. Look what the child of God always rises up, because there's a needle inside of us that says, I'm not of this world. I'm of another kingdom. I have power over this stuff. I've just come into this meeting today and my heart is burdened for hundreds of people and the stuff that's going on around us nationally and in your home. It's like the sun is shining, but does the church know it? There are people that are being hurt, people that are being damaged, people that are confused. They know the Lord's coming is soon. When Jack and Amber came to church for the first time, Tiff Shuttlesworth preached on the rapture. Their hearts were gripped. There are people that are just knowing that something is changing, not just in Maine, not just in the Northeast, not just in the United States, but the world is changing. I tell you, it is changing. It is getting prepared for a one world government. It is getting prepared for an anarchy like we've never seen before. It is getting prepared to hate God and to hate the people that serve him. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. He's not an old God. He's not an elderly God. He's alive today in his church. Not coming up short in this world. Not coming up short with anxiety. Not coming up short with depression. Not coming up short with problems. Not coming up short with disease. I'm coming up strong, because we're coming up in the name of Jesus. Something inside of me says, though everything shakes around me, I will not fear. Let there be distress all over your cable news, but I've got peace that passes all understanding. Let churches and church leaders do what they do, which are crazy and fleshly. It's just the shifting of the last days, but not here. Hallelujah. Jesus is still alive. So alive, he's coming back soon. Cry your tears here, but when we get there, he's going to dry every last one of them. The tears you cry should be for the lost. The tears you cry should be for the hurting. But the tears you cry should not be for your shortness. There should be joy. I can't help but think, is it okay if I just preach a little bit? I can't help but when Jesus went to church and there was that, I believe it was a lady with a withered hand. She went to church. She had one good hand and one withered hand. And when Jesus saw her, he was said, I'm so glad you came to church with your withered hand. Just in case you're new and you don't know, we love people that come up short in areas of their lives. And I got to say this about the woman with the withered hand. At least she went to church. See, some people, they get healed and all of a sudden they don't have time for church. When their sick kids were sick, you couldn't keep them out. When their marriage was bad, you couldn't keep them out. When they didn't have any money, you couldn't keep them out. But now that the kids are all right, the marriage is okay, and they got some new toys, you can't get them in. And I'd say that to somebody to warn you. I feel in the spirit to warn somebody today. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just telling you, save yourself the roller coaster. If God blesses you, make sure you stay committed to the one who blessed you in the beginning, and you won't have to suffer any setback in Jesus' name. I'm warning you, please don't do that. Please don't do that. You're on fire for God till you get married, then nobody sees you anymore. Don't do that. I'm not beating you up. I'm telling you for your good. Nobody counts heads and figures out what benefits we get. We're doing this for you. She's with her short on one side. And Jesus said, stretch out your hand. If I was her, you know what I would have done? Okay. You didn't get that? Was I too quick? If I was her, I had a withered hand and a good hand, and if Jesus would have said publicly, I mean, this wasn't a closet, this was public ministry. By the way, public ministry needs to be public, not in the side room. And not that God can't move in rooms. Okay, anyways. If the religious side of Matt Ward would have said, okay, here's where I'm strong. But Jesus didn't come to her to minister to her strong hand. He was looking for her to give something that she was not proud of. He said, stretch out your hand. I'm glad that she was like a lot of people here. She extended the withered part of her hand. The place that she came short. Ladies and gentlemen, today, I don't know where you're coming short, but God is not calling you to hide it. God is calling you to expose it so that not to everybody else, but to him, so that he can make up the difference. And the longer you stay with him, the longer he makes up the difference, the gap. You ever met a married couple? They're married 20, 30, 40 years. They start looking like each other. They start laughing like each other. They start finishing each other's stories. They start doing all these things. You know why? Because the longer they're together, the more their natures begin to mix. Somebody look at me. Your weakest days are behind you. The longer you stay with Jesus, the more his nature will begin to mix with you. And he will help you. He will make you act like God. Verse 9. Jesus said, salvation has come to your home today. Somebody say amen. For this man has shown himself to be the true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has not come to seek. The Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Let me just say these things to you and then we're going to close with prayer. Joy comes when I see Jesus. Come on, somebody. Somebody lift a holy hand to God and say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. Oh, that I might see Jesus. Watch this. Joy comes when I know Him personally. I'm not leaning on your relationship. Stop leaning on your wife's relationship. Stop leaning on your parents' relationship. How many know God wants to get to know you Himself? Joy comes when He cleans my past. He's coming to your house, ladies and gentlemen, and He's going to wash it all away. I just wrote these things inspired by the Holy Ghost this morning. Joy comes to the humble. All those tall, arrogant people outside saying, "Who is Zacchaeus?" Zacchaeus said, "I've got nothing to prove. The Savior has come to my house today." Joy comes when we act like Him. And joy comes when my house is filled with Jesus. Some of you have already determined in your mind the outcome of a bad situation. Who said? Some of you have already determined this is going to end in defeat. This is going to end in failure. This is going to end in trouble. Somebody shout, who said that? No. There's a channel on television. It's the NFL Network. And they sometimes play games that were previously played. Now, I already know who won the game. But sometimes I'll watch it to see how they won it. Y'all okay? Is Jesus still Lord at 11:59 or not? Act like it. Is Jesus still Lord at 11:59 or not? Is your stomach Lord or is Jesus? I don't get it anymore. The countryside just burned down. You got nowhere to go. Good grief. I'm telling you, right at the moment for a miracle, and it's like, I don't know about it. Oh, come on. God wants to do the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it for nothing. What was I saying? Oh, the game. No, I honestly didn't remember. I already know the score of the game. I like to watch the Steelers when they played the Lions. I think it was the Lions. They were playing in Detroit. Who were they playing? Playing somebody. Anyways, whoever they played. I know the score, but I just want to know how they got to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you in the name of Jesus, joy comes to your house. And when it comes to your house, you may not know how you're going to come to the victory, but you can know this: victory is in my house. You may have a problem with your job and you don't know how the job is going to have victory, but you do know there's going to be victory. Why? Because the devil does not have the final say. Jesus Christ has the power and the authority, and as long as you stay connected to Him, the score is settled. How you get there is to yet be determined. I don't know what you're going through in your marriage, but I'm telling you today, if joy fills your house, your marriage is going to be fine. I just don't know how you're going to get there. Some of you aren't right with God. And you say, I don't know how I'm going to serve God. I'm telling you today, you're going to make it. You are going to make it. I just don't know every play that's going to be called. But I got a Bible full of promises that tell me if you'll take the play that God calls in, you will make it. Some of you are afraid to give your life to Christ. You're concerned that you can follow through on your commitment. I'm telling you, the people that did it in that tank are the people that leaned on God, and the God that they leaned on becomes your God today, and you can do it not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for every person that's in this building today. I thank you for the sense of the Holy Spirit that we have here. God, you haven't come to shorten the people. You've come to strengthen the people. I pray for somebody that's not right with you. They're not ready for heaven. They've either never made that decision or they've drifted. I pray, God, today that you'll minister to them. I pray for somebody who's come in here and they're just defeat after defeat after defeat, or they suffered a defeat they don't want anymore. I pray, Holy Ghost, you give them an encounter that they realize, I'm not going from weakness to weakness, I'm going from strength to strength. With every head bowed and every eye closed, who's here today that realizes that Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life? You've either never made that decision or you've drifted from Him. You've allowed everything else to be the governor of your life, the leader of your life, the ruler of your life. But nothing else can save your life except Jesus. And you say, I've never had a relationship with Him. I need it. Or I've drifted from Him and I've got to return. If that's you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just raise your hand up nice and high. Bold. Be strong and say, that's me today. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I see your hand over here to my left. Who else? Who else? I see your hand over there, sir. God bless you. I see your hand, sir. God bless you. In the balcony. I don't want to miss anybody in the room. In the back of the building. The front of the building. The middle of the rows. Whoever you are, wherever you are. I can't promise you next week you'll be willing. I can't promise you next week anything. I can't promise you this meeting. And you're not going to gain anything by delay. You're going to gain everything by making an immediate. Be like Zacchaeus. He ran immediately to find Jesus. Get that same fire inside of you today. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. You're the one. I just sense it in my heart. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. I would ask you respectfully to not be moving during in this part of the service at all, because God is about to do something special that's not only going to save a life, but it's going to save families. And so I'd ask you in God's presence to stand, if you would, please. And every one of you that raised your hands, please look at me. This is a public faith. Okay. If you raise your hand, I just want to make sure that you've got access to this altar. If you raise your hand, you say, today, I walked in one way, but I'm going out another way. You say, I want that. See, Jesus died for you publicly. He calls you to serve Him publicly. And let's rejoice together with you today as you give your life to Christ. When you come to this altar, this is what's going to happen. We're going to pray. We're going to give you a Bible. And we're going to give you all the support that every church should give to everybody that's new. I wish everybody would rejoice as those souls come that raise their hand. Come and join me at this altar. Come and join me at this altar. Don't delay. Don't delay. Make this your move. Come on. There's one here. Let the others come. Come on. Come on. Don't delay. This is your morning. This is your morning. This is awesome. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. We can do much better than that. Let's begin to praise Him. Angels are rejoicing in heaven. Saints should be rejoicing on the earth. Hallelujah. You just don't know what God's going to do with a decision. But I can tell you, you'll never bring your life to Christ and have it be less than He found you. Every time you come to Christ, He adds to it. And that's what's going to happen for every one of your lives today. It's not too late. It's not too late. Look, you say, I keep coming up short on that. Not after today. This is what you needed today. So you don't have to have that anymore. It's this way. You believe that? You believe Jesus can do that? You just got to keep your eyes on Him. Okay? He's doing it again. All right. Let's pray this way. Everybody do it together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on the cross, be buried, and risen again. I could never have this relationship with my God without that being done for me. When you're on the cross, when you were beaten, when you were whipped, you did it for me. You took the beating and the punishment for my sins. Now I don't have to take them. You took the punishment so I could have the blessing. Please forgive me from all my sins. Wash me clean. Give me a brand new beginning. And with your help, I'm going to get greater and stronger and healthier. In Jesus' name. I'm no longer the same. I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, let's thank God for every life, for every soul. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stretch your hands this way? Would you stretch his hands this way? I think it's so important that we pray for people. Lord, this is significant, what these precious lives have made for a decision. I pray your mighty blessing on them. I pray you'll keep your hand on them. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that is greater than anything that they encounter. I thank you, mercy has already overcome the past, and now grace is giving them strength for the future. I thank you for it. I claim them to be yours forever and evermore. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you want Jesus to just come in and fill every gap of your life? Would you just lift your hands with me as thanks unto God that he's doing it right now? I thank you, Jesus, today. The hurting that have come, the lacking that have come, the suffering that have come, are walking out in abundance, are walking out with provision, and are walking out with health. I say in the name of Jesus, be healed. I say in the name of Jesus, be delivered. I say in the name of Jesus, be restored. I say in the name of Jesus, be revived. Come on, I say in the name of Jesus Christ, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God pour his spirit out on this church in every measure and in every way, in Jesus' name. Come on, begin to thank God, hallelujah,
so
for his mighty
promise.
I will
rejoice,
and I will rejoice, and be glad. Come on, let God build up the waste places.
I will rejoice,
and I will rejoice,
and be
Lord, yes, Lord.
I will rejoice and be glad.
Oh, I will rejoice.
I will rejoice and be glad.
Lord, I pray for every soul, for every person. God, help us as a church to not be short on any area. But God, we thank you today. You are everything that we need. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Lord, that you are our provision. You are our provider. You are our healer. You are our Savior. You are our protector. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing something in us that God has got your fingerprints all over it. And we pray, oh Lord, let it continue. If you want God to do more than ever before, just begin to praise him with your voice and begin to thank God. Lord, I receive more. Does anybody want more in this place? Just begin to say, Lord, I want more. I don't want religion. I don't want dead formalism. I want the living Savior to move in my family, to move in my marriage, to move in my children, to move in my community, to move in my ministry, in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just pausing for just a moment. I don't know. I don't know. But I need God to do this for somebody today. Somebody has stepped back. In fact, every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me just do it this way. I don't feel like I need you to come here. I feel like God can do that for you right there. But somebody has allowed the enemy, I'm not blaming it on people, I'm blaming the enemy, for doing something that has shaken you. This is the somebody inspired by hell has done something that has shaken you. I believe in one prayer that God can heal you, that God can renew that fire. You've been shaken in your faith. You have been off center. You've lost your focus. How many know focus is everything when it comes to faith? Focus is everything when it comes to victory. Focus is everything when it comes to serving God. And somebody, you've come short because you've lost your focus. Every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today. You say, that's me. I'm not calling you forward, but you say, that's me. I can feel I'm losing my focus. Stretch your hand up real high now. Quick. I'm losing my focus. Yes. Begin to pray right now. Lord, I pray for every person that there be a holy realignment. Come on, somebody. Everybody's praying this prayer. Lord, let there be a holy realignment. Let there be a mighty shift. Lord, I pray right now, because that distraction is a trick of the enemy to get them off course and off their victory. But in the name of Jesus, there is victory for the people of God who will keep their eyes on Him. So Lord, let us be like Isaiah. Let us say, on the Lord's day, I saw you high and lifted up, and your glory's filling our lives. In Jesus' name. Now begin to praise Him for what He's about to do. Would you begin to praise Him for what He's about to do? Focus restored. Vision renewed. Lives back on track. Children don't have to suffer. People don't have to have any setback. In Jesus' name. Come on, a good, joyous amen today in God's house. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. I'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock.